Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Now it's time for the Eric Hasseltine Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN, Q&A of the day.
See, if you'd stop ducking the interviews, I could bestow that honor upon you whenever you decided to join the program, you know?
I was wondering when that was coming.
Right off the bat. You know I'm going to get it out of the way. Right in the word go. Sam Amick joining us here on the program. First of all, everybody back home safe? I know the fires have been out of control. I know you're in Sacramento, but we all have family that live in the general vicinity, and Sonoma's not far. So just making sure everybody in your camp is safe as well.
Yeah, I mean, in the immediate, definitely. I've got a cousin who evacuated with her family, and they were holding their breath that their house is okay and they're fine. So they kind of got lucky. And we've got a neighbor who's housing a relative of theirs who has not been able to get back. And, you know, the winds are the interesting thing for the surrounding areas. A couple of days ago, we got all the smoke, and then the next day it disappeared. And I think the Bay Area folks got all the smoke. So, I mean, obviously just a tragic situation.
Yeah, it's awful. And I think what people don't realize is where you're at in Sacramento and where I came from, East Bay Area and Sacramento and then into Sonoma, it's not all on the beach. I know everybody thinks California is one big giant beach, but there's a lot of inland, there's a lot of dry grass, and when you get into those hills, there's a lot of wind up there. And, you know, that fire danger there, wildfire danger, is very real. There's always signs up. So was horrified to hear what happened. Happy to hear that all yours are safe, as are all mine. Let's get right into it. Season starts on Tuesday. Obviously, everybody kind of talking about this as the Golden State Warriors Invitational. Who do you feel like in the West has the best opportunity to challenge them at the top? Is it Houston? Is it Oklahoma City? Is it San Antonio? Who do you like to try to knock off the Warriors from their perch?
So my quick disclaimer would be I've always had this thing where I don't like to project too much on teams that we haven't seen yet. Now, this year I have to kind of break my own rule because so many of these teams, we just haven't seen the Rockets with Chris Paul and, you know, OKC with their new guys. So I am handicapping in projecting. I would go with the Thunder, and maybe it's recency bias. I spent some time in OKC, went to Paul George's house and sat down with him and got some perspective. But they've looked pretty good in the preseason. They've, you know, Paul, I think, is actually leading the NBA in scoring in the preseason for whatever that's, you know, that's worth.
Right.
They're sharing the ball. The chemistry's been pretty good. And, you know, I think when you have three future Hall of Famers, you know, I think that's a powerful thing. You know, the Rockets are intriguing, and, you know, and right there with them, obviously, as you mentioned, San Antonio, just a much different situation. The addition of Rudy Gay, and he's coming off the Achilles. You got young guys like DeJounte Murray who are going to get a lot of run, and LaMarcus Aldridge, is he happy, is he not? So theirs is not quite as cut and dried, more to work through there. But OKC, is they've got firepower, and they were an elite defensive team that now should not have too much trouble scoring, and that's a pretty good combination.
I will say, okay, San Antonio, welcome to the rest of the NBA world for the first time in, like, forever. You have a guy that may be unhappy. You got to play some young guys. You don't have the robotic lineup that you put out there every single year. So congratulations. Right. You finally become a real basketball team, not a bunch of robots going out and winning 50 games every year for the last two decades and making the playoffs and just advancing here and there. Talking with Sam Amick from USA Today. So that leaves, as I figure, right around eight. I'll put eight teams in the group that are going to compete for the Final Four. Obviously, the Grizzlies are in that group, but you're talking the Clippers. You're talking the Jazz, who had major losses in the offseason, but have guys that are apparently ready to step up. However, then they lose Dante Exum, who, you know, can't seemingly stay healthy. You've got the Grizz, you've got the Blazers, you've got all these teams that are fighting for it in there, and teams knocking on the door, like the team the Grizzlies will see tonight in preseason and the opener on Wednesday, and the Pelicans, the Timberwolves. Who do you like to be potentially a surprise, and or is there any surprises with that group stepping into the final four spots in the West?
Yeah, I mean, my surprise team, wherever they wind up falling, and I guess just the team that I think is getting forgotten a little bit, is Portland, probably. And, you know, mainly if you go back to last year, and I know you follow this stuff closely, Eric, so, you know, you didn't forget, but when they had Jusuf Nurkić in the lineup after
really
making that trade with Denver, yeah, they were 14-6 in those 20 games, and they looked really good. And I know that some of the metrics had them for that, you know, it's not even a small sample size, but for that stretch, they were up there with the Warriors in a lot of categories, which is pretty, you know, impressive. So if they can recapture some of that, plus I'm a big fan of the way that Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum are wired as competitors. They seem to relish that underdog role and that idea that folks always forget about them. So I think Portland makes some noise, you know, and a lot of pressure on Minnesota. I was just with that group out in China for the China games with the Warriors, and, you know, a ton of talent, but an interesting landscape where I can accurately report that despite reports to the contrary, Tom Thibodeau has not changed as a coach, and he is driving those guys into the ground. And I do kind of wonder, as the season wears on, you know, is that going to work or not? Because that really struck me in China, where, you know, the guys were kind of openly complaining about the workload early on. And so it's a long season. So is he going to get the most out of that group? We shall see. But they've got a ton of talent, too.
There's no doubt he's a brilliant basketball mind, talking about Tom Thibodeau. But that same act was kind of what wore thin with some guys in Chicago. There were people in the front office or in the offices that were like, this guy's just really difficult to deal with. Subsequently, he seemed like lighter and nicer and softer and like trying to ease up a little bit. Saw him around the summer league. But yet now that he's got his players right back into it, I mean, it's hard to rewire guys. I mean, I'll use Eric Musselman, who you knew when he went to Sacramento, sat there, and for the 2 years or 3 years he was on the Grizzlies bench as a lead assistant to Mike Fratello, hey, this is what I did wrong in Golden State. If I ever get another opportunity, these are the things I'm not going to do, and this is what I am going to do. Got into that head coaching chair and went right back and did exactly what he said he wasn't going to do, because he's a creature of habit. And I've always said, look, man, coach how you're going to coach. You're the one who has to live with the results. If you think you need to change, change. If you don't, then don't change. He's doing very well now at UNR, and I'm happy for him. But it's hard to all of a sudden just up and be somebody different than who you are. So I'm not surprised to hear you say that about Tom Thibodeau.
Well, not only that, I mean, just to kind of add on to your point, I mean, my goodness, he's running the front office now at this point, which he was not doing in Chicago. I mean, he did what he did in Chicago when he was simply holding the head coach's title. And now, to me, that's where, I mean, listen, there, for a quick minute, I thought maybe Andrew Wiggins was going to leave that extension on the table, and I thought maybe the coaching factor was one of the factors.
Right.
And he didn't, and he picked up the money. And so that's a crisis averted, because that would have been a fascinating kind of test of allegiances and loyalties if you're their owner, you know, and you're looking at it like, you know, you're costing me talent here. But that didn't happen. But he's empowered more than ever now. And the tone, I'm with you. Like, I like Tibbs a lot, but the tone is what it is. I remember asking somebody in China, just trying to find out, you know, hey, are you guys going to practice tomorrow? It was kind of one of those days that would be questionable.
Right.
And the response I got was, you got to ask the boss. Like, it's just kind of this, like, one man runs the show type of culture.
Yep.
And, you know, we'll see if it works.
Yeah, and sometimes that's beneficial, because you only have one voice to listen to, but when the voice starts to strike the wrong nerve, it can be detrimental, just my humble opinion. Sam Amick from the USA Today,
sure,
covering the NBA, joining us here on the program. I want to ask you this, because you've seen enough of the Grizzlies. You and I have been friends for years. I'm hearing guys, and we hear it around, I just want a national guy's perspective to ease up on the people that are critical of the Grizzlies announcing that, yes, they are going to indeed one day retire Tony Allen's jersey. Did it need to be announced yesterday? Not necessarily, but I think they wanted to maybe deflect some of the, you know, attention that will come tonight and opening night on Wednesday night with Tony coming back in town with the Pelicans. But I've also always said to the guys that are critical of it, It's their damn franchise, and if that guy held that much value to them that they want to remember him that way, who is anybody to be critical of this? We got a guy in Nashville, like, tweeting out the stats and going, well, these are the stats. That's not jersey with retirement worthy. But, you know, defensive stats don't show up. And when you got Kobe Bryant calling you the best defender he ever faced, that's pretty solid.
No, I don't have any problem with it. And I got a soft spot. Maybe it's because of our shared background where the Kings got some of that when they talked about, you know, some of the jerseys they were going to retire. And the similarity there is that you have a particular stretch in the franchise's history that you know, that the fans and the people in the organization have a real soft spot for, and it's not something you can measure with the stats. You know, that's why Bobby Jackson is still a part of the media team, because he was a beloved member of the Kings back in the day, and that's why, you know, Doug Christie is still around. These guys, and it's somewhat similar to the Grit and Grind Grizzlies as far as the affinity the fans had for that stretch. So I wasn't surprised at all when I saw that email. I know it's been uncomfortable since the summer, really uncomfortable, it seems like, just how they've decided to broach this topic and handle the departures of these guys who were so popular. And so, I mean, I feel like that's kind of a healing thing where you put that email out and you show some love, show some respect. You know, and like you said, the timing is, I'm sure, very intentional with Tony coming back. So I don't have any problem with them retiring those jerseys, because they set the tone for the culture. They were, Tony in particular was the guy that they coined that phrase, and that's, they were a memorable group, and it wasn't just in Memphis. They were memorable kind of in NBA lore. So I think, you know, that's, I'm fine with that.
Talking with Sam Amick here on the program. When you look at the Grizzlies this year, what do you expect out of them? Chandler Parsons is not going to play tonight out with personal reasons. He has not had a great preseason, despite the fact we saw the article by Tim McMahon and we saw quotes basically saying, hey, look, he's dropped weight. He feels better. As I saw it, and I'm not even afraid to be honest on this show and tell Chandler the same thing, he looked more reactive than instinctual on the floor, and you can't be reactive in the NBA. However, the last game I did see him, you know, finally catch, shoot without thinking about it. It didn't go. But there's a lot of concern, and there's a lot of money on that. You mentioned the Blazers earlier. They were able to shred a couple of their contracts over the years, and the Allen Crabbe deal, they ended up trading him to Brooklyn, which I think hindered their ability in the early part of the year to really do what Terry Stotts wanted, because you feel like you have to play guys when they're making $18 million. You can't just let them sit on the bench, and they had a couple deals like that. So where should the Grizzlies go with this? At what point do you cut bait with this, and how do you do it if you think that it's not going to work, and how does it affect the group?
Remind me, Eric, when his contract is up.
This is the second year of a four-year deal.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not the final year, which always is going to increase the odds of a guy getting moved. To your point about Chandler, I mean, listen, I've always enjoyed him, and, you know, like all these guys, you wish him well, you wish him the best, but if I'm being honest with you, like, I respect the heck out of Tim McMahon. He's a friend of mine. He does a very good job. And I still haven't read that piece, because when I saw the headline, having seen Chandler last year, having written something that was a little bit longer about where he was at and then watched him closely for the rest of the season, I think I subconsciously just wasn't ready to believe it. And I felt like it was, you know, it was setting a great tone for Chandler going into the year. But my mentality had become like, yeah, let's talk to me in December. Let's see how he's playing.
Right. And I think that's fair.
Yeah. And so, you know, that's a major, major thing. And I feel bad for the Grizzlies, because when they made that move, you know, I remember talking to, you know, John Hollinger from their front office about it. And, you know, there was excitement across the board, it seemed like. And there was, you know, the kind of the way it was framed was the most significant free agent signing in the organization's history. They've made some big time moves on the trade market, but getting a guy to come to town, you know, has not always been easy. So, I mean, that's a big swing and a miss if, in fact, that ends up being what it is. This is a huge year for him and for them. And like you kind of alluded to, he's trying to bring other guys along and figure out what the future looks like in this post grit and grind era. And that's potentially the kind of dynamic and type of situation that can hold you back a little bit.
I did see, you know, I did talk to David Fizdale a little bit today in our pregame for the coaches interview, basically saying, hey, look, you've not called as many plays, letting guys kind of freelance a little bit because so many defenses, as he says, are switching. Or do you feel like that's going to be a trend with the way Houston flows so easily and the way Golden State just moves the ball unselfishly, the teams are finally starting to go, hey, look, with everybody switching and everybody trying to take away this pick and roll, we got to let guys play, and I'm going to have to trust my guys. It's not something coaches do very easily. You know that from being around Tom Thibodeau in China probably. But I think it's something they have to start doing is trust their players to make plays.
No, I agree. I agree. I mean, when you are talking about the trend of positionless basketball continuing and evolving even more, you know, I think the risk you run as a coach if you try to hold on to those reins too tight is, you know, one team's playing chess and the other's playing checkers. If those players, the Warriors are the prime example, if those players feel each other and know each other in the way that that group does and the ball's whipping around, and that's the kind of offense that you're trying to keep up with, on the other end, it's just good luck because, you know, the sets that typically might have gotten the job done in the past, I just don't think are going to be good enough. So finding that right balance is, you know, why some of the best coaches in the game are who they are. And I agree with your idea that I think it is changing.
You're a good man. I appreciate you carving out a few minutes. I will look forward to doing it again during the season, and I will hound you until you come back on.
Let the record show. Ask our friend Ben when he hit me up. I think I responded in about 30 seconds.
I appreciate that. Look, I know how busy you are. I just like giving you a hard time, and I can do that because we've known each other for as long as we have, and I do have a tremendous amount of respect for your work, my friend. So keep it up, and I will look forward to catching up with you when we can.
Likewise, Eric. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, brother. Sam Amick right there does terrific work for USA Today covering the National Basketball Association.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.